Hello, welcome to this Citation podcast. I'm Emma McGrath, a professional support solicitor at Citation.
And I'm Dominic Cooper. I'm also a professional support solicitor at Citation.
We're here today to talk about yet another employment law change that's coming into force in April 2024, this time covering flexible working applications.
So Emma, this is one of several changes that's coming in April at the moment, which has been hard for us as professionals to keep track of, and that so must be even harder for a lot of small business owners.
Yes.
Also, this particular change, it's coming in for England and Scotland and Wales, won't be enforced yet for Northern Ireland. Of course, employers have always been able to choose to agree a flexible working request more informally. And this is just a change to the more formal process. But the right to request flexible working has been around for quite a while now, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's actually been about 20 years now. So the law sets out a formal process, which is a procedure for an employee to ask their employer for a change to either the number of hours they work or the timing of those hours or their place of work. So, for example, the request might be something like going from full-time to part-time hours. It could cover working from home rather than in the office or some element of hybrid working, which, of course, we've seen an awful lot of since the pandemic, or perhaps compressing hours into longer days with an extra day off in the week. But really importantly, it is only a right to request such a change. It's not a right to require the change.
Yeah, of course. That's often, I think, a bit of a misconception. And sometimes it's the impression that is given in the media that this is a right to dictate or demand some kind of difference arrangements, which the employer then has to accommodate. And that's not the case. You know, an employer can refuse the request if it falls within one of eight quite broad statutory grounds that will actually cover very many situations. For instance, detrimental impact on the ability to meet your customer demand or an inability to reorganise the work amongst other existing staff. However, although an employer can refuse a request, if it is going to have a negative effect on the business, there are often benefits for the business too in agreeing the requests in terms of employee engagement and productivity and things like attracting and retaining good staff from a range of backgrounds.
Yes, so in terms of the changes that we're seeing to this right to request flexible working, the first change we're going to cover today is that from the 6th of April 2024, this is now a day one right for all employees to make a flexible working request. And previously, employees needed to have 26 weeks service to make the flexible working request. So this is quite a change. Now, this change can be found in the 2023 Flexible Working Regulations, and these were made at the end of 2023. However, in terms of the other changes we're going to be talking about in this podcast, these are actually set out in different legislation. This is namely the Employment Relations Flexible Working Act 2023. Now, this act says that the government will bring them into force through new regulations. But we're recording this podcast just slightly ahead of the 6th of April, just so we're ready to go. And at the time of recording, these haven't yet been brought into force. However, ACAS have produced a revised code of practice on flexible working, and this does incorporate all the changes that are in those that act that's not yet been brought into force. Now, an ACAS code of practice will be taken out into account by tribunals when they're deciding a case, and this code has gone through Parliament, and at the time of recording, ACAS says that it's expected to come into force on the 6th of April. So assuming that the code of practice does come into force on the 6th of April 2024, our advice to business owners is to treat the changes that are set out in the separate act as also being in force on the basis that the tribunals are going to take this into account when making decisions.
Yeah, so one of the key changes that the code is going to bring in is that an employee will now be entitled to make two requests within a 12-month period, whereas it was previously just the one. So therefore, it would be a good idea to keep records of when requests have been made and also ask the employee to confirm when they have already made previous requests. In fact, the code does recommend certain information to be included in the request, such as the date this request is being made, obviously what change is being requested, and also when the employee wants it to come into effect, but also the dates of any previous requests that have been made. So if the employee does include all that in the letter or the form making the request, that should be all you need for your record keeping. Another change is that there's no longer an obligation on the employee to explain what effect they believe the change will have on the business and their colleagues, or to propose how to mitigate that effect. You can still discuss the potential impacts on the business with the employee as part of considering the feasibility of the request and whether you want to grant it, and it would make sense to have that as part of the conversation. The code actually does state that the employer must not reject the request without consulting with the employee first. So there will be an opportunity to discuss any potential concerns or queries you may have. The exception to that need to consult is when the employer feels happy to agree the request in full and straight away without having to clarify or explore anything further. So Emma, could you explain maybe a bit more about how that consultation process should be carried out?
Yes, of course. So if an employer receives a formal flexible working request, the key is to act reasonably when considering this. As Dominic covered earlier, employers need to consult with an employee who's made a request, and they should invite the employee to a private meeting to do this. So this meeting should be arranged without unreasonable delay. Now, that would be all dependent on the circumstances. So, for example, if the manager who was going to be holding the meeting was about to go on holiday, then it would be reasonable to delay it until after that, or any other particular circumstances which meant they weren't able to hold the meeting quickly. But otherwise, really, it would be a case of arranging the meeting, perhaps with a couple of days' notice. We'd usually say about 48 hours' notice to prepare. And that notice period is important because both parties do need to have time to prepare for the discussion. The meeting is obviously a really useful opportunity to discuss the benefits and the impacts of the flexible working request. Now, whilst the employer is considering the request, it's really important to also be aware of other relevant rights. So, for example, if the employee is disabled, then the employer's got a separate obligation to make any reasonable adjustments to their working conditions to negate the impact of their disability. And it's also important to ensure that the employer doesn't unlawfully discriminate against an employee when deciding a flexible working request. If the employer doesn't feel able to agree to the request straight out, then part of the consultation should be about discussing any other reasonable options. So, for example, any ways that the request could be modified. It might be that perhaps the employees ask for 10 hours reduction in their hours, which isn't feasible, but perhaps they could discuss a lesser reduction, so 6 hours instead, and whether this would achieve what the employee wanted. The employer could also discuss having a trial period. So if they're feeling as though they're not sure that the request would work, they could have a trial period in place, have a look at it in practice, see how it's working, and then that gives them a more accurate assessment of whether or not they can agree to the change. It's always important to keep minutes of any meetings, and then following the meeting, not during the meeting, but following the meeting, the employer should have one final think about everything that's been said and then make a decision. This would be then confirmed to the employee in writing. And if the request has been rejected, then it is good practice to offer an appeal. So the final change that we were going to comment today on in terms of these new legal changes is that whole process used to have to be completed within 3 months, including any appeal. But actually, the final change is that it's now been reduced to a 2-month time period that everything must be completed within.
Okay. And I think it's also worth thinking about what business owners and employers need to do next. And I think we would recommend that they make sure, firstly, that all their policies are up to date, and that if they already have a specific request form, that this is updated to reflect these changes, and that the handbook and policies are updated accordingly. Also, train managers on what the new rules are and what's expected of them, what the business's obligations are. It would be worth informing the employees of any changes to their rights. And yes, make sure that you have got an ability to record accurately when requests have been made and how many have been made in the year and so on. Yes, just to improve your record keeping. That's important. And a further point, just looking more widely, you know, the ability to make requests from day one and to make 2 requests in a year, I think makes it reasonable to expect that there will be an increase in the number of requests that employees see. The changes are intended to encourage the option of working flexibly being a default wherever possible, and having a mindset of the starting position being that you consider what may be possible rather than the status quo or what isn't possible. This is all part of a trend that has been observed since the pandemic, that the wider implementation of hybrid and home working and so on has led many employees to think more about what working arrangements would best suit their lifestyle and their needs. And it's also prompted a lot of employers and business owners to think more creatively themselves about what else may be feasible and the potential benefits of the alternatives for them as well as for their staff. So I hope that's been helpful for our listeners. Citation clients can always call to ask for advice. And if you want to find out more about Citation and what we can do for you and your business, then please feel free to call us on 0345 844 1111. Thanks for listening.